Okay, good morning. It's Friday. We have so much to do, so many people to talk to, and so many places to go this Friday morning. I've also got a range of stuff that we promised we would get to. I hope we get to it all. So let's get going. We've got Ben and Simpiwe here. Later on, we'll be joined by Colonel Chris Wyatt, who is no stranger to the show. He's been seen and heard in the comments section, among other places. He's a retired U.S. Army colonel, intelligence operative. He's got a particular interest in South Africa, and he has spent a lot of time here monitoring what's been going on. I'll hear what he has to say about where we're at, because I think there could be some interesting observations. And it's always good to talk to him about all kinds of things. He ran for Congress in America. He got beaten soundly, but he's happy to talk about that too. So he's joining us a little later.
No bad reflection on him, though.
No, he's cool.
Yeah, you know, getting beaten in politics isn't always the worst thing.
And also in America, like, American politics is so bad. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about things that Americans do on the internet that Simpiwe thinks weird. I mean, this could be the longest list in history.
It's not that long. I've not been to America, so these are the things I've seen on the internet and watched, and I'm just like...
Of what they do in real life, like, or yes, what they do life. On the internet?
No, like, in real life, like, this is just them. Like, this is how they live, this is the things that they do, and I'm just like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. So the first one, the easiest one, is the drinking age is 21 and not 18. I find that weird. I'm not
sure. So weird.
Why so late?
The funny thing is that their driving age is still...
16.
Okay. So,
but is that because they were rural people initially?
Well, I don't know. It might have to do with the fact that that gives you six good years of driving on the law books where you shouldn't be drinking, right? Because you can only legally start drinking at 21.
Yeah.
So it gives you a couple of years where you're supposedly safe on the roads. That's the way they probably figure it. There are a lot of stupid rules in America. Lots.
I always think, like, there are dumb rules. Maybe this is a rule that stems from people like your kid would be more like useful on a farm if they could drive cars.
Maybe.
Like, there's middle states probably made these rules.
Kind of weird. They wash everything in the kitchen sink. Like, the baby will get washed in the
sink.
Oh,
my God.
They'll wash their hair. They'll wash the dishes. Like, it's just... No, guys,
I've noticed
bathroom.
That on
really?
YouTube and stuff, but I don't think that's how civilized. I think that's like revolting internet.
Maybe
influences.
It's just the place with the best light to film.
Yeah, I
but
think it's
the kitchen sink.
Yeah, they do use it for a lot of things. They also have something. They have things in their kitchen sink in most American houses called a garbage disposal.
Yes,
they've got this machine that grinds up shit.
Yeah,
it's like it's got teeth and stuff. So if you drop anything in there, or if you put your finger in and activate it by mistake, and some of them are automatic.
Oh, there's been many cheap horror movies that have used that as a massive thing.
Yeah. They have that, which I don't know a South African house. I've never seen a South African house that has that kind
of
garbage.
No, it's like a urinal. You don't see that when you go to someone's house.
Yeah. Although I still want one for my bathroom.
You know, I saw
wouldn't you have
that.
One if you're a billionaire? Or
no, I did.
A billionaire?
I did. I saw that. And I was actually looking at properties a few months ago, and this one apartment had a urinal. I thought, that's cool.
It is
but
cool.
But then I also thought, like, if it's your urinal, you like the splash factor and all those things, it's a nice to have. I don't know if it's that functionally hygienic.
I sometimes just think it makes a lot of sense to...
It saves water, perhaps.
It saves water. Takes up less space.
Okay.
Yeah, but you still need the toilet though. Your urinal doesn't then
can't
just
it
like
be on its own then? Like yeah, a then separate room? Or
you need a room just for the urinal?
The urinal room.
Some
I mean, that
houses
would be alpha.
That just have the toilet.
That would be pretty
I mean,
alpha.
I think it would be pretty cool if you like said to your friends, all right, ladies, the bathroom's there. And guys, the urinal room's there.
Yeah. It's like how they separated the toilet, and then there's the where you'll have your shower in another room, and so that those two don't mix. You can have
the urinal lounge.
Yeah,
tiles on one side, copper on the other.
Like it would completely be horrible if you had it in your bedroom, though, like against one of the walls in your bedroom. That would be gross.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
I mean, that's prison. That's what you have in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
All in one.
Ew.
Okay.
On to the next. How dirty their cars and houses get. They are absolutely filthy. Like when they're like, oh, come clean with me. There is things and clothes and toys everywhere. Like every inch of the house is covered in dirt, and I don't understand.
But it's also those shows you're watching. It's like those hoarder shows and things. Those are the scum of humanity. They really are the most terrible people, and a lot of them have serious mental health conditions. Right.
Like, no, of course.
Probably not well.
But now here's a question for both of you, which ties back to an old Friends episode when Ross met this really hot chick and then went back to her house, her apartment, and it was disgraceful. It was just like dead everything.
I know a real life story like this. I know a girl. She's beautiful. Like, she's really, really hot. And I thought, wow, she's gorgeous. And I was like, yeah, I was getting to know her a little bit. And a friend of mine said to me that she had been at her house and it was just a complete Armageddon clusterfuck. It looked like Afghanistan.
So none of your other mates wanted to prove this?
No.
To her place.
No. So it kind of put me off enough to think, maybe she's not that attractive. It affected the attractiveness.
Okay, definitely. So if you met a girl and then you went back and her place was like that, would you go home or would you go, well, the train's already left the station on this one?
I know a guy who went to a girl's house with her after a party somewhere. And she was very pretty and they were both into each other. And he got to her house and she had a Great Dane dog, but it had shat all over the house, and the whole house smelt of dog shit.
Leave.
And he said he couldn't go through with it. He had to leave.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
But right? like same for you. Say, for example, you meet someone, you think
piles of Great Dane,
very attracted to this person, but they live in a pigsty.
Mountains.
You become just as unattractive as that dirt. Like you are nasty. Okay. Like
unanimous.
Why?
Yeah. Unanimous. Carl, what are your thoughts? I know you're going to come up with some story from your youth.
Run your legs short, Gareth, even if you don't like running.
Sure.
Okay.
On to the next one. They microwaving their water for tea. Weird.
Yeah, I hate that. I saw someone do it in an office once, and I said to them, what are you doing? There's a kettle.
Apparently, they don't use kettles.
Like, no, they do. Just, they microwave things, yeah.
They just microwave everything, and I'm like, this is not how we as humans are supposed to operate in this day and age.
That's so dumb because that doesn't overly heat your mug.
You're having lukewarm tea.
It's gross. And the worst for me is when people have made their tea and their coffee. Like, let's say your kettle's not working and you microwave the water. Cool. But to microwave cold tea to make it hot again.
Yeah. It's
come on, sad. What are you? A savage? What?
Just drink your tea.
Are you early man? That you need to. It's just disgusting. Like, make a new cup of tea. What's wrong with you?
Like, their spelling is absolutely atrocious. Like, I think they need to go back to school.
Well, they
please learn how to.
They don't
spell.
Even know how to say aluminium, let alone spell it. So they just go aluminum.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that's like rebellion against England. That's what baseball started, because they're rebelling against cricket.
Yeah, but we need to get over
the way they spell color, color. I don't like that. And my spell check on my phone keeps making me feel like an American.
Yeah.
I hate that.
It annoys me so much because I'm like, I spelled this right.
I say favorite. FAVOUR, and it corrects it to favorite.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Or realize, because we use S and not Z.
Yes.
It's lazy. Like, guys.
Bloody Americans. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, you know.
So far, your list is, this is good. We're getting we're fired up about this stuff.
Okay. Their food portions. I'm sorry, guys, but it's absolutely unacceptable. Like, it's massive. This is why they're obese. Like, now I understand. Like, why is their medium and extra? Like, it's this big. It's a large.
Yeah, it's a bucket.
So again, let's go back to the origin of this. Is that because fast food became so competitive that people had to find another thing to get people to them? So they had just upsize.
They are.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
That is like, gluttony.
It's gluttony, yeah. I think because I went to TGI Fridays or whatever it's called in New York the first time I was there. I was just really hungry and I didn't know where else to go. And I kind of thought, well, this looks all right. And I ordered like a steak or something. They brought me a slab of meat that was so big it covered the whole plate. And then the chips were separate and there was enough for four people. Wow. I was like, this is not necessary.
It's not
Did I get my order wrong? The guy's like, no, sir, that's what we
No, sir, that's what we serve people.
That's just bad for business and your margins, though.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm just like, we don't need all of that. You know, if you want people to be healthy, also portion sizes when it comes to food plays a big role. And it's not just the fast food restaurants. I mean, we McDonald's here and McDonald's there is very different in terms of our large and their medium.
Well, Conga Chris says, interestingly enough, the color spelling difference is actually because newspapers had classifieds that charged by the letter. So some cheapskate said, well, I'll just spell it differently. What a cheap, I mean, what a cheap thing to come up with. Unbelievable. Right.
And last on the list, and this is something I've seen just particularly with the white people that side, is that they use their hands when they like take a shower instead of like using a washcloth or like something else.
Is this from the movies or from the
Like podcasts even where they openly talk about it. And it's kind of like we've seen a thing where they've gone around asking people. It seems to be a very Caucasian thing where like, I don't use a washcloth. Why would I do that?
I do notice that the black guys at the gym have a face cloth, washcloth with them. The white guys don't. That I have noticed.
Yeah,
no, that's the thing. Well done. I think that's a universal.
That's the thing. You just pointed out a racial difference.
I've got another.
Wait. Yeah. What do you use to wash?
I've got another American thing I want to add on to that while we're at this.
Okay, cool.
Something that I've picked up since period of my time of assessing American society is that they steal each other's deliveries.
Yes.
Like those that people have like porch cams.
Yeah.
Because everything
gets
delivered.
I played a video on Wednesday with Jack where a guy actually comes out of his house because some drug addict is stealing the stuff off his porch, and he comes out with his he's got an M16 assault rifle.
That's the level he's
got. And he comes out, and this guy's like, "I'm sorry, sir." And he's put my fucking package back on the porch. Puts it back on the porch. I won't kill you, motherfucker. And he runs. The guy runs away like this, just trying to get away from him. But yeah, it's a serious problem. People steal each other's shit when they put it out on the front door step. Big problem.
Yeah.
Very bad. Yeah, very bad. That Don Kedde says, Simpiwe, in response to your question, white women use loofahs.
Yeah.
You know what a loofah is?
Yes, I do.
There he is. There's the guy with the gun.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, look, hectic. Here it is. Watch.
And he took it so casually as well.
He's like, bring that back here. Watch. Guy's like, sorry, sir.
See, it goes back to the crocodile eating story.
And then
watch
how he runs.
Like you've got
run,
to have the
motherfucker
okay,
run.
Then why doesn't he take the package? Nay, utom. Like,
yeah. I think they're actually doing it on purpose. All right, can I show you something cool?
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few things here. So this is Leslie Nielsen. I mentioned he did this interview.
Okay.
Leslie Nielsen, one of the greatest comedy actors
ever.
Such a fun guy. Naked Gun, all of those movies. If you don't, you'll know who he is from the clip. Anyway, he did this very serious interview with a news journalist who keeps trying to ask him questions, but he's brought a fart machine into the interview with him, and he sits there and he pretends, and the interviewer doesn't know, he thinks it's real. and Leslie Nielsen's just not in the mood to be doing a serious interview. And eventually the guy kind of just starts laughing. So take a look at this. Here it is. Play the Leslie Nielsen interview clip. Here we are. Fuck, I love him.
I don't care. I just don't care anymore. These things don't bother me.
All right, well then we'll start now then.
Did you hear the starter pistol?
Your ears open. All right, now we'll begin.
You know, I don't think I'll ever get sick of fart jokes. And I think people who don't laugh at farts have got problems. It's always funny.
A guy like that can deliver the best fart joke.
For sure.
I think it gets a bit too gratuitous for my taste. But on Instagram, there's a variety of reels with just Leslie Nielsen's top moments throughout his movies.
Oh, he's great.
That joke was so funny.
So great.
So incredibly funny.
Yeah. Don Kidd is saying the interviewer is trying not to whiff the smell.
is also that, because you're waiting for the inevitable, right?
Yeah.
If someone keeps cracking the covers like that.
I love the way the guy keeps going, okay, let's start now. And then he farts. And it's like, okay, we'll begin now. He's like trying to be professional about it. He just doesn't know that Leslie Nielsen's there to take the piss. It's fantastic. All right, so Ben, you wanted to talk in a kind of related story to Simpiwas, the stuff that makes you truly happy on the internet.
Ooh.
Yeah, because you know the internet, we mostly just consume stuff which makes us unhappy, because that's just how it works. I mean, there's been all
these... If you do, that's your fault.
But there's been all these like psychological trials and tests about the fact that smartphones are amazing, but they ultimately make you a bit sad.
Yes.
Now, the people that makes you sad, obviously, are people who just don't do anything other than look at other people's lives. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that is your own fault. But I was always thinking, like, what is the thing... Because, you know, I like to follow my friends or like people that I admire and stuff. But that's entertainment. It's not really like happiness. I don't look at this and go, wow, that's a real joyous piece of content that.
No.
Is there anything on the internet that actually makes you, gives you genuine joy?
Yeah, I've spoken about it before. I love watching those pneumatic press things where they squash things. I mean, that's hilarious and it's fun and no one really gets hurt except a soft toy every now and then. But they don't crush animals or anything. So
no, just the Eastern European channels.
It's the dirty dark web internet. So, yeah, that's the stuff where you get the really
bad. There's levels to every genre.
Yeah, sure. But I'm watching the PG stuff.
Yeah.
And I love watching stuff getting destroyed by a pneumatic press. I find that very, very therapeutic.
Wow.
Makes me laugh. And then I go down the rabbit hole, as I did last night, of kind of funny videos of just people doing dumb stuff. What I don't like is when I know someone's going to get hurt really badly. Like those ones where guys get hit in the balls. I don't like those. I don't like it when animal videos, I can't watch any of those.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. No. Not the sad ones, you know, where someone's...
Speaking of pneumatic presses, I saw something horrific this week.
Yeah.
Is that there's a particular place, it's probably Canada, where all these salmon swim upstream to obviously, like, you know, lay their eggs and stuff. And this bear is just covered in salmon, the salmon everywhere. The bear's like, nope. Goes for the ones with the eggs, obviously, because the bears understand there's more fats and proteins through the caviar.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this bear, like, just gets a fish and just stands on this thing. And then all the eggs come out. And you just see the fish's mouth, like, and this thing is now just squirting the eggs out. But just, these bears are they're horrible.
They're very vicious.
I mean, they're very fancy to want caviar over just the flesh. But they just stand, like, there's a pneumatic press of animals. They just stand on these things, and then these pregnant salmon just...
But don't you love the way that, like, the bear is spoiled for choice? It's like going to a 5-star Michelin star restaurant, right?
No, sorry, it would have been probably a Russian bear then, because they're very fancy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's also where you get the beluga, savruga.
And that's the thing. These black bears go in, they're wanting the beluga. Simpiwas, what makes you genuinely joyous on the internet?
Hoof talk.
What?
Hoof talk. So it's basically like when they get the cows and they like will show you something wrong with their hoof and then they fix it. And then you see it like squirt out at the pus. And
it's just never like, in a million years was I expecting that as an answer.
Oh my God.
Wow. And then they talk you through some
of
the videos.
I didn't expect that either.
Talk you through like what he's doing and how he's going to like fix the hoof.
Sheesh.
And some of them don't. It's just you're just watching this pus come out.
Oh
and
my
then,
God.
And they like carve out all the dirt and then you figure out that there's a nail in there and they have to take it out. Just makes you so happy.
That is the most niche thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Wow. Hoof talk. I honestly did not even know this existed until now.
It's like so
I know
cool.
People who watch the like the pimple popper stuff. I can't watch that either.
Yeah,
that's probably where it started.
Oh, it's revolting.
I've elevated.
Hoof tuck sounds much worse.
That's probably where it started.
It's like so cool. And then you can like hear the cow like in the beginning they're in pain and then afterwards they're in like so much relief and it's just like, oh, next one.
Carl says, have you ever seen those funny videos of the ladies with the plumbing problems, and then some guy comes over and helps her out?
Oh my gosh.
I love that.
Well, there's joy. Everyone gets it, huh?
That sounds like the dumbest plot ever. Who would buy that?
Sure. Okay.
And how do these plumbers always know where the house is? Because I've seen some of those movies as well, Carl. They've set in the 80s. There was no GPS back in those days. There was no internet.
Sanella says, I guess I have a problem then. According to Gareth, I don't find farts amusing at all. any shitty activity, frankly. It's all disgusting.
Yeah, that's because someone probably sat in your head as a kid and farted on you. You probably had like a bullying brother or something. Yeah, we all have traumas. Like
yeah. V. Rose agrees with you. Hoof tuck is great.
Oh, yes.
No, thank you.
It's amazing. Like, I love it. But also, like, another fave is, and it's because of this UK guy, I forgot his name, he will watch videos of, like, people restocking their fridges or cupboards, nice. Whatever. But, like, now he has a thing, like, to the what? To the brim. So I also have that thing when I watch videos now, like, if they don't fill it up to the brim, you did a bad job. Like, no, you have to fill
brim.
It up. To the brim.
But okay. What are they filling it with? Like,
like different containers, like sometimes the pasta, the sugar, you know, milk.
I love
ice
those.
And stuff like that. Like, and I even learned about how ice can be fancy, y'all. It's not just putting it.
There's what, levels. Like, how can ice, what?
Like, so there's different molds for ice. I did not know this until I've found this on this guy's thing. So now you get the traditional one, which is just the cube.
Right.
And then now you get like even bigger cubes.
Oh, yeah. Got the big cubes.
Yeah. And then there's even the ones with the small balls that you can like make it for the cocktails. So it looks like a boba tea.
You can get actual penis ice. You can put on cocktails too.
Really?
That's great. I wasn't going to take it there,
but you get penis molds. I've got gun molds.
I once went to someone very, very fancy's house and they have ice, but it's not ice. It's a stone. It's a stone the size of almost a cricket ball. It fits into a glass. And if they pour you a whiskey, this thing, which has been in the freezer.
An actual stone.
A stone. It's like a polished piece of marble or whatever. And this thing keeps
you got fancy friends.
Yeah.
Sure.
This keeps this keeps your glass super cold. And it's heavy as hell.
It's the kind of place you go to and the dog barks in French.
Yes. The dogs all speak French. Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, because I know you get like hot stone therapy, which I understand.
Yeah. You get cold stone drinks.
That makes a lot of sense.
Stone cold Steve Austin drinks.
You need some pretty solid glassware though, huh? You can't just be throwing that into something dainty.
No, it's proper, yeah. It'll break the... Break through
like
glass.
You
order a whiskey,
like
you get 2 kilograms in your hand.
It also forces you to be fit in order to drink. Because
sure.
You're essentially lifting. That's what you're doing. Vyasin says, I love those videos dubbed with South African accents. Durban, Indian, and Cape Coloured accents are the best. I saw a very funny one yesterday of like a monkey and its baby, and the monkey's eating a cucumber, but she's like cucking all over the kid in a like Cape Coloured accent. It's like, no men, stay away from my cucumber. That kind of thing. It was very good. That was very, very funny.
Particularly, I think it was Dora the Explorer got dubbed into like Cape Coloured dialogue once. It is puss funny as they were. Like, it is this, it's so good because like the one thing is like one little guy's a crack addict, another one's doing like meth.
Yeah.
And then Dora's trying to get to school and it's yeah, it's like when the dub postman patented it as well. That stuff's funny.
Another one. I like this. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but I really like the hacks of like organizing stuff, storing stuff, packing.
Yeah,
all those kinds. I love that stuff. I if you go through my favorites, there are only 3 categories really. Because you know you can save stuff on Instagram. You don't just like
it. Yeah, you get that little ribbon dungus thing.
By the way, your likes on X are hidden now. And apparently the likes have gone up tremendously. I saw that
because it went through a stage where when you like something, it just basically retweeted it.
Right.
So then everyone stopped liking.
Everyone, and then also some people don't want everyone knowing what they like. But I've got 3 categories of likes. First one is great music. So if sometimes it'll come up with beautiful live performance before I was born of, I don't know, Joni Mitchell. Okay. And I've never seen it before, then I like and I favorite that. The other category for me is beautiful buildings. So especially architecturally beautiful buildings, buildings that have an enormous amount of architectural detail, classical architecture, that kind of thing. So that's category 2. Mm-hmm. And category 3 is like useful hacks and stuff. So if they show you, for example, how to clean like some complicated thing in the house, the coffee machine or whatever. There's some guy and he uses bicarb and he uses vinegar and all this kind of. I love that stuff. So that's boring, but I love it.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
There's a lady. Ha, I'm Balintlapo. And
one.
I'm your housekeeper.
Her. She's great.
Balintlapo.
But this is like there's actual joy. Like, so at various stages of the day, I watch this Flavor Trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's this couple. They basically travel around Europe mostly, and they just DJ.
They're not those ones who went to Kazakhstan and got killed.
Well, no.
Because there was that trip that there was this couple that went on these trips, and then they said, oh, let's go to like a war zone, and they got killed.
No, probably different.
Okay.
Not much joy in that story, Gareth, but let me bring it back. So what they do is like, and you would know this if you like house music or you want, they're just a, like,
wow.
If Skulk Bezedner didn't dress like a pedo and was from Luxembourg, that's what the guy looks like.
Oh. Okay.
And then he's got I assume they boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife. I haven't dug that deep into the story.
Okay.
And they cruise around Europe and DJ, but then when they make these videos, it's like an hour and a half mix, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the camera's on the actual like DJing setup, and then there's something cool behind. So there'll be like a mountain or like the ocean or something. And then next to it, they've got like a place where they make a meal. Ooh. And over the course of the DJ set, they prepare the meal, make it, and then eat it. And they're having drinks. And they just That's seem nice. Like the happiest people in the world. Like they've just got life right for them.
I like that.
Do you remember, like each other's company, and they're just living it.
The best TV chef I ever remember. I never watched TV chefs because I find them boring. But do you remember Floyd?
Yes.
He just used to get drunk.
But that's how it used to be.
Yeah. And he would get super drunk while he was making these amazing meals all over the world, traveling. I mean, it was basically an excuse. He just wanted to travel and cook food and drink. And we just got to go along with him. That's pretty much the best way.
And that was before celebrity chefs and the Cooking Channel, all that kind of stuff.
He was the first one.
Okay.
He was like, he must have lived a good life, huh?
Yeah.
He probably died earlier than he probably
Cirrhosis
could have.
Cirrhosis of the liver, yeah, probably.
Sure.
You know. My favorite, says Mapelo, is the Xhosa lady who does the car character voiceovers. She's great.
Okay.
Temba Robin, who's been on the show a couple of times, he's MM's favorite. And you know what? It's so cool that you could find anything that you want. If you're a history nerd like me, you will find documentaries on there that you won't get anywhere else that are awesome about the most bizarre things. I watched a video the other night on like them opening the tomb of St. Edward the Confessor.
Ooh.
You're not going to find that.
He must have had a really big thing to confess if his name was that. But this is what the internet has, right?
Yeah,
we get into these horrible habits of watching such inane bullshit so much. Mm-hmm. But like, obviously, when you get to know yourself more as a person, you find what you really enjoy.
Sure.
Like, your niche topic.
I mean, hoof talk. Holy shit.
There's actual joy to be had.
Of course. No, this is very good. Okay, so we've given you enough of a warning here, but you've got to go and watch Ben's new show. He's out of here. Doing anything fun for the long weekend?
No, I've had quite a busy week. A friend of mine is going to come around to my place tomorrow. We're going to do 3 degrees on the ice bath.
Which is, what?
Yeah, Jesus. 3 degrees.
Isn't it cold enough?
Yeah, it's a mental thing, and he's never gotten that low before. He's got into it, so we're going to do three. And then I've got some, doing a family thing with Daniela, which is going to be nice. On Sunday, just very chilled, watching US Open golf.
All right.
Like I said, the US Open at this place, this is my ultimate major.
Thank you, Ben. Very nice to see you. We will catch up with you in your show next week and on this show next Friday.
Fantastic. Lovely being here as always. Ciao.
Ben Karpinski, and you can check out all of the sport content on his brand new sports show, which you will find on The Real Network. And you can just follow the links. It's all over our social media too. You shouldn't have any trouble finding it. So, one other thing I did want to show you quickly, Simpiwe. You said you find hoof talk interesting.
Yes.
So I've got this video of a rhino. Now, I know if this happened to me, I'd just shit myself. There's no short, sweet, ugly, or pretty way to put this. But if they've got like all this upbeat music here in the video, and that's so unnecessary because this is terrifying. Watch this quickly, and then you can see what I mean. Take a look at this. That's not it. There, yeah. Look at this guy. You hear the music?
Yes.
This drama, you know? I mean, I'd shit myself. Yes, sus.
Oof. And he just just runs off just like that.
Mm-mm. No, all you'd hear from me was... and then I would just drop dead.
Like, you're...
Yeah.
He was so calm, like so
way
calm.
Way too calm.
And then he's just like... I bet you he's telling everybody else, remain, just calm down, guys, just got this. And I would have been like... Dear Lord Jesus, I knew I wasn't supposed to come here. I'm sorry for testing you. Like, I would have been in prayer, like,
right.
Ha!
That would be a very scary. I don't know why they were doing that. If this guy's like he's like a rhino whisperer or something, but I wouldn't take a chance. They can't see very well. A rhino can maybe see a couple of meters in front of it at best. So it doesn't really know what it's looking at. And if it thinks that you could be small and vulnerable, it will go for you. So I don't know. I don't know if you want to do that. I really don't.
Yeah,
I think
don't
that's a silly move.
That no, don't try animals. Don't,
very stupid.
Don't do that.
Very stupid. But I'll tell you what's not stupid is having Colonel Chris Wyatt here with us. You often will find him in the comments section, but he's been on the show a couple of times before. Mm-hmm. The beard is looking magnificent, majestic. Look at that beard. How are you?
Gareth, I'm doing quite well. Yeah, the beard is actually shorter, I think, than the last time I was on the program.
It looks good.
But maybe it's a little thicker.
And you know Simpiwe?
Yes. We've met previously. Okay. I've been
nice
on several times. But, you know, I really have to want to come on the show. I have to travel 6,000 miles. Apparently, Zoom doesn't work from the U.S.
Well, we like you being here in person. It's nice to see you. And I know you weren't just here by chance because you were very interested in what happened in our election. I'll talk to you about that for a little bit just now. We try to do... no politics Friday, but we'll make an exception because Chris Wyatt's here with us today. Let me remind anybody who doesn't remember, he is a retired U.S. Army colonel, intelligence operative. He's got a big interest in South Africa, and he spent a lot of his post-military time making sense of the big changes in this country, which is always good because, you know, a lot of South Africans are interested in America, but it's good to have some Americans interested in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
God alone knows. I don't think your current president could find us on a map.
Well,
I don't think he could find his wife on the map of the White House.
Well, it is a lighthearted Friday, and I don't know if you know, but Joe Biden was actually here once upon a time. He told the story about how he visited Nelson Mandela at Robben Island in Soweto.
He said,
Wow,
yeah.
whoa.
It's on tape. There's a video. I'm not making this up.
Soweto, Robben Island.
Right. Yeah, a little geographically challenged, you know, just, but yeah, that's Joe.
Wow.
That's just Joe.
Did you see him? Oh, I'm going to have to get up and do this. I'm sorry, guys.
With the handshake?
No. They've just had the summit with all the world leaders somewhere in Europe. And they were all, it's just been on the internet. And while they're all standing for a photograph, Joe just gets up and just goes.
And then he stands
Joe,
like this.
Joe.
And then one of the presidents has to come and finish. He's standing there like this. And then someone taps him. I think it's the Italian PM or whatever. Taps him on the shoulder. And Joe like turns around.
So you know, it's interesting.
They all move. Like all the other leaders
come towards him.
Around him. And then they take the picture. And he's standing there like this.
It's like a wounded wildebeest. They all come around to protect the wounded one from
so
the line.
It's so bad, right?
No, it's really bad. You know,
this is your president, and he's the most powerful man in the world.
Don't tell anybody please. No, the nuclear football is kept away from him.
I'm very concerned. Like, I think about that all the time. You know, we always hear about how the Bay of Pigs invasion and how close we were to nuclear war with the Russians and Khrushchev and Kennedy, and there was that phone call, and Bobby called the Kremlin and said, you know, whatever happens, don't do this and we'll do that. And it was like brinkmanship. That's where the word came from. And it was like if something had gone wrong, we would have had so many nukes launched that the place would have looked like in the scene from The Terminator, right? When the robots are like trudging through this desolation, this dystopian world. Now, I think about that because Joe and Kamala, who's cackling like a hyena all the time, these two have the nuclear football with them, and it really scares the shit out of me. I know everyone's telling me I should be worried about Donald Trump, who's apparently a convicted felon now, so we need to take him super
non-existent
seriously.
Non-existent crime.
But we don't know what the crime is, right?
Exactly. It doesn't exist.
But this is your president, so if anything goes wrong, people, just don't say I didn't warn you.
Yeah, it's I don't know what to say about U.S. politics. As an American who spent 36 and a half years in the Army, 34 in active duty, 23 overseas, 5 combat tours, frankly, I'm embarrassed. I defended the Constitution not for white, brown, or black, Christian, Muslim, or Jew, but for Americans.
Yeah.
And I sit around sometimes and say, what have I done with my life? Look at this joke that we're becoming. It's really... Look, I'm proud to be American. I'd never trade that in for anything, but it's just I just like watching Monty Python these days.
No, it is.
It's just a flesh wound.
No, it's crazy. I do see you wearing a Bulls jersey.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was told that it's a little chilly in the studio, but the Viking, I should have came in shorts. It's comfortable in here.
Yeah.
But I am in town, of course, for the Bulls game, the semifinal.
Okay, very good.
Yep, I have press credentials with the Bulls, and so I go to those games. I was there last week. The Bulls won. It was not the most impressive performance.
No, apparently it was very, very thin little margin of winning.
Well, I mean, actually, I could have put my boots on and played defense and done a better job. I
think. Ooh.
Yeah. Now, Ben did say that he's not betting any money on them this coming weekend.
It's not over. They can win this game. They just have to play to their potential, and Leinster has to come in thinking they're going to win automatically, which does happen occasionally. So we'll see. I'm hoping it's a good thing. I go to the press conference afterwards, and I'd rather ask Jake questions when he's in a good mood than a bad mood.
So, Chris, you've been watching our elections. There's a lot of really interesting stuff going on now. What do you have to say?
Well, a couple things.
You can criticize us like I just had a go at Biden. No, you tell us what we're...
I mean, our president is called Cupcake.
Yeah, exactly. Cupcake.
Started there.
That's what you call him, Sibiu.
Munir Palapala. Palapala. So let me start with a compliment. First off, I barely got my passport. First, people complain about home office here quite a bit, with good reason, but it took me 7 weeks to get my passport renewal. I almost didn't make it. Yeah, can you believe that?
It's
That's
ridiculous.
Because the State Department doesn't do the passports. They send them out to contractors. And if you get the wrong contractor, apparently they sit on it.
Oh.
So I got my passport just before the election. I managed to book a flight. I arrived on the 28th. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been much purpose.
Yes, see, that's just.
So I was going to come to Gauteng and cover it, but I wound up in the Western Cape because that's where the flight went. And it turned out to be actually a good spot to go.
Okay.
I managed to go to 10 polling stations on the day of the election, the 29th. Mm-hmm. So I started in Somerset West. There were about 800 people in line at 9:45 in the morning.
Wow.
It was hectic, yeah. And so we got the impression early on that there was a massive turnout, but that had a lot more to do with uneven training for the IEC officials working the election station or polling stations. Back home, I'm a judge of elections, and so I know how these things work, and I oversee the elections. And it's pretty clear to me that there was uneven training from one station to another. There were some fantastic ones.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Woodbridge Primary, and there were like 400 people in line, and next thing I know, they were gone, like in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It was really fast. But
wow.
The line kept building, but people kept getting out of there.
Okay.
But other places like Parklands and then also Somerset West, there was just massive queues because they just weren't ready for it, weren't prepared.
But in the end, again, I hate to contrast our two countries because I know you love both, but like we didn't have mail-in voting, which is just
Thank
bullshit.
Goodness.
Yeah, because
well,
that's bullshit.
Fraud. Just fraud.
And we don't, our election was declared free and fair pretty quickly afterwards, except obviously for the MK party of bitching and moaning about a few votes that they... I mean, they won, and they're unhappy.
They did better than anyone even watched. Look,
right.
I projected, based on all these polls that came out, somewhere between 7 and 13%, and I was a little bit off the mark.
Yeah, they got 14.
14 and a half, yeah. So I'm going to crow, if I can, real quick,
sure.
And then I'll come back to the compliment.
Go on.
So there was one analyst in the world who said in November of 2021, after the municipal elections, that the ANC would not do better than 38 to 42% in this election. Only one.
Sure.
And he was told he was crazy and knows nothing about South African
you.
Politics. That was me. The record's there. I said it, and I stuck by it. Now, that was before the gift of 360 days of load shedding last year or the rise of MK. But looking at the data, looking at the situation, paying close attention to the internal ANC insurrection in KZN in July 2021, it's obvious to me that millions of South Africans had given up on the ANC, and they would exercise their protest by simply not voting. We saw that. If you watch and look at the data very carefully in KZN, the IFP only gained 2% more vote nationally. But they went from 9 to 24 municipalities under the control, with either an outright majority, a majority coalition, or minority coalition. Why? Mm. Because ANC voters stayed home. They were angry.
Yeah.
They had enough of it. And if you look, a lot of people are like, well, the reason the ANC lost this election is because of MK. That's simply not true. Look at the data. The MK party got 2.3 million votes. The ANC lost 4 million votes, 10.4 million to 6.4 million.
That's a good point.
The EFF took about 300 votes from the EFF. They've been devastated in KZN. They almost don't exist anymore.
300,000 votes.
Yeah, they took 300,000 votes from the EFF across the nation.
Yep.
MK did. They probably took about 1 million votes from the ANC, but that probably wasn't enough given the low turnout. that they would have lost the majority. They would have been right on the knife's edge. But the bottom line here is that the turnout was so low. And in my view, looking at and talking to people and seeing what's been happening, it appears to me that Gayton McKenzie with the Patriotic Alliance and Jacob Zuma energized people who were not going to vote or who hadn't voted. They didn't, you know, all this nonsense about the DA is losing votes in the Western Cape to the PA. No, that there may have been some folks who changed their ballot, but most folks didn't. This is mostly people who hadn't been voting. They've come back out to vote now. And they did so out of a cult of personality, I suppose you could say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's why they did it. And if without those people, which is at least 1.5 million voters, the turnout would have been even more abysmal and sad. And that's, for me, that's the worst part, that people give up on elections because it's your one chance to make a change. And a lot of people don't believe you can make a change, but you can. Trust me, I just ran for office and didn't win. More people needed to come out.
Yeah, that was in, you were, what, in Illinois?
No, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania, okay. Yeah, well, it's a tough place. Have you still got, hang on, isn't, what's his name?
Fetterman?
John Fetterman.
Yes, John Fetterman. He's our senator. Our illustrious senator.
He's brain damaged. And
well,
he's
I'm actually
senator.
Wearing a hoodie in honor of John Fetterman today, because yeah. That's how he appears in the Senate. Oh, talk about
an
sad.
Actual brain damaged guy, and he's in the Senate. So I see a lot of people complaining about the government and national unity. I see some people who are very excited about it. Some people just completely misread this thing. I saw some really stupid posts yesterday of, today's the day John Stiernason becomes president.
Unlikely.
I was like, come on, guys. But I do notice that the people who are making the biggest noise are the ones who are probably going to be left out.
Sure.
And this is their last time to make like a primal scream. And
before they
heard.
Disappear into the woodwork.
Before, because after this, they become irrelevant, right?
Well, the MK just became irrelevant in KZN despite winning 45% of the popular vote. How bumhurt is Jacob Zuma and the MK going to be? Because they won 45%, and we see a coalition that came together that now has 41 seats. They only have 37. And even if they take the tiny 2 seats from the EFF, that just gives them 39, so they can't rule. So they're in a tough spot because the ANC, the IFP, so you got the IFP, the second largest party with 18%, the ANC, the third largest party with 17%, and the DA, the fourth largest party with 13%, coming together with 40 seats, and then they got the NFP. They somehow managed to get them to come to the fold.
Well, 41. I saw someone asking, here's a question for all the white people living in the Western Cape. If the ANC got 17% and the PA got 18%, and the votes of the DA combined 45%, would you accept Gayton McKenzie as a premier? But I think that's really completely a different story.
Well, I can't do that math. I'm still trying to figure out what you said.
What he's trying to say, obviously, is like you're actually removing the will of the people from the equation, which is not true.
Well, that's not true. So, for instance, in KZN, and I get this all the time on because I've been full mode all election all the time. That's all I've been doing since I've been here. I mean, I've neglected the rest of my news coverage around the world for the most part. That's probably why I didn't know Joe Biden got lost. but that's just another Tuesday, you know, Joe Biden getting lost. No, people are like, well, the MK won the majority. No, ladies and gentlemen, a majority is not a plurality. A majority is 50 plus one. Mm-hmm. 55% of the voters in KZN who bothered to rock up at a poll voted against MK.
Right.
Now, to be fair, nationally, 60% of the voters vote against the ANC, but also against every other party out there. So the point here is that you need to form a majority, and they have to have the votes, and MK doesn't have it there. And the national level, well, let's see what happens this morning. After the results came in and we started getting a good feel for where they're at, I noticed that the only major political party that gained votes was the Inkatha Freedom Party. They gained about 30,000 votes. The ANC lost 4 million. The DA lost 115,000 votes. And by the way, they're down from 2014 in their zenith under Helen Zille when they had 4,091,000 raw votes. They're down to 3,500,000. Even less than Musi Maimane. He got 3.6 million.
But you have John saying he got more black votes this time around.
Well, he probably did. No, he probably did. But we don't know that yet because you don't do exit polls the way we do in the States. He probably did. If you look the last time in 2019, in Gauteng, the DA got 18% of black voters. And people keep talking about them as a white party. They're not a white party. They're a multiracial party, and the majority of the voters are actually colored. But, yeah, it's there's a lot of ways to slice this apple. It's interesting. I'll tell you, one thing about South Africa is it's never boring. It's never boring. It doesn't matter what day of the week. We either got something going on in Phoenix or Rockefeller.
I love that you're so interested in our politics because I find it is fascinating. We're going through an incredible change at the moment. And whatever happens today, I mean, you know, a lot of people are pinning all their hopes on politics, which is so dangerous because the politicians are not your daddy. They're not going to make your life better, you know? that in the long run, there may be slight improvements, so there might be slight kind of downward spirals. But by and large, it takes a long time for the politicians to start affecting your actual life. And if they start making better decisions, which we can guarantee just because they all have to get together and talk about it now, it doesn't take one party to make those decisions, things are automatically going to go up a few percent. It's going to get a little bit better in everything. And that's good. We should be happy about this.
Well, ultimately, people have been asking me, so what do you think? And I said, well, this is probably the best possible outcome for South Africa, honestly. Yeah. The ANC was not going to get down to 33%, and the DA was not going to get up to 30%. I didn't expect that. I figured 23 to 27 is probably where they fall, and they came in at just below that, so I was slightly wrong on that. But this is probably the best possible outcome. No longer will policy be determined and dictated from the Thule House. They'll actually have to be debate in committee, in parliament. You'll have to horse trade and dicker like the way politics are supposed to work.
Right.
It'll be ugly. It'll be messy. It'll be like making sausage. But you know what? That's good. The problem we have is that there's a lot of dead wood and a lot of criminals sitting in government. Now, the ANC messed up the regional list, and there's going to be a lot more people out of government than people realize because they didn't put the right people on the list. So it's going to be massive turnover for ANC support. Even though they went from 230 members of parliament to 159, it's going to be a little more painful than that.
What do you reckon a government of national unity might look like? Because you're the kind of guy who's not afraid to make predictions.
Yeah.
Usually when you do, you've as you just told us, you've been right. So go on.
Well, I'm not such a fan of governing national unity. I think an outright coalition is a better move. And when the results came in, it was clear that the ANC was getting around 40%, so they needed help. And I predicted the EFF was going to drop below 10%. They did. They came down to 9.5, so they can't join with the EFF. And I know that Ramaphosa cannot stand Julius Malema, so that's unlikely. MK is really irritated many people in the ANC, so that seems like an unlikely thing. So they're going to have to form a coalition. So I looked at it, and to me, the logical thing that makes the most sense that is supposed to do what politicians are supposed to do, be servant leaders for the people. A lot of them forget that. They think that their blue light escorts and their fancy mansions and their big paychecks make them special.
Can you tell that to Figile?
Yeah, they seem to think that makes them special, but they put their boots or their skirts on the same way every day. The rest of us do. I'm not wearing a skirt. Anyway, a lighthearted moment there. But but the thing is that, so I said this in my campaign. I said the reason I ran for office is that too many politicians do this for craven political power, self-aggrandizement, or self-enrichment. And if any politician is doing that, they need to hit the road and foot sec. So there are a lot of them will still sit in parliament that are like that. Mm-hmm. But the good news is a lot of people are coming in fresh. And I'm not talking about people who still have milk dripping behind their ears at 20 years of age. I'm just saying fresh faces coming in, and maybe we'll see some. But the coalition that I recommended after seeing is that with the IFP party gaining 4%, nearly 4% of the vote, and the only major party to increase their vote total, it makes them a credible presence with nearly 4%. Also, the leader of that party is very, very straightforward, very honest, very forthright, and he's been mentored by Mangosuthu Buthelezi for decades. And Velinkosini Chlabisa, in my view, the DA and the ANC, neither of whom got a majority in this election, should be humble, sit back, not nominate a presidential candidate. They should nominate Chlabisa from the IFP.
Yeah,
he should be the president.
Totally
not this nonsense of creating a second deputy president. This is the Zimbabwe 2008 all over again, where they created the prime minister's position for Morgan Tsvangirai. It was just ridiculous. There's no real power. Make Chlabisa the president. He's a Zulu. That should calm some Zulu hearts. Plus, the king has already said it's a free and fair election. That should calm things even more. And then we can move on. But, and I say this now, and I've said it for months and the past couple of years, as we head towards a multi-party coalition or a government of national unity in South Africa, South Africans must realize that this could be Italy 2.0.
From
1945 until the year 2000, Italy had I think 87 different governments, constantly collapsing.
Get ready.
Well, yeah, this could be Nelson Mandela Bay all over again. You know, people undermining the coalition. Well, I didn't get this job. You didn't do this for me. And given there's so many dishonest people in government, that's going to be a challenge. If they were all honest, you know. But look, I'm not just dumping on South Africa. I mean,
no, this is true all over the world.
I tell people about America. I said, look, there's 435 members in the House, 100 senators. Of the 435 members of the House, I would say, in my view, there's probably about 75 who are patriotic Americans who consider themselves to be servant leaders. They're there to serve the needs of the people and make the country a better place. In the Senate, maybe 25. So the rest of them there for their self-aggrandizement, their blue light escorts, their self-enrichment, and craven political power.
So quick question. Yeah. What happens to all the parties that don't join the government of national unity? Like, are they just going to disappear in the background?
Well, it's an interesting thing because party politics really pollutes the water. So in theory, it should matter which party person's in, if you're in parliament, right?
Okay.
So if the national health insurance comes up as a bill to vote on, all good, decent politicians should say no, because it will destroy South Africa's economy,
right,
and it won't work. We've seen this movie over and over again. So they shouldn't vote along party lines, so it shouldn't matter. But in reality, we know that in most instances, in most countries, people vote the way their party tells them to. And so those parties will be in the official opposition. They won't work together, but their vote will be there. So, for instance, the Free Different Plus had 10 members, and they did very poorly. They've dropped back to 6 now. Action SA, Herman Mashaba, didn't make the big splash that his party hoped to. They have 6. So, and then, Musi Maimati's back in parliament, and he gets to bring a friend. How nice is that? That's really cool.
It's like when you get an invitation to a party, and they say, bring a partner.
That's right.
Like, oh, thank God, because I didn't know how I was going to tell my wife that she couldn't come.
Now, the good news for Musi is that that beverage you were talking about with the cold stones, there aren't a lot of those, but there'll be enough for 2 at Parliament, so he can bring his friend and enjoy that beverage.
That's sweet. That's nice.
Yeah, it is. I think that's special.
Okay.
And Tiny Pat is down to 1 seat.
Shame. Pat.
Shame.
Like, what's that guy we had, Brett Herron?
Oh, Brett,
I don't know what he's going to do anymore.
He's in the provincial legislature. He's there.
Oh, so he found a seat as well.
Well, he managed to scramble. He voted against
Alan Wendy. It's like musical chairs, right? Yes. They all go running around the desk, and then there's only 1 chair left.
The good news is it might no longer be the Titanic where they're shifting those chairs here for South Africa. It might just be actually a better, brighter future. Let's hope. Speaking of which, driving here this morning, beautiful sunrise coming up, cresting. It just made me think, wow, maybe a new dawn for South Africa. But I'm not
such a fan of the new dawn idea because it didn't really work last time.
I
don't like that terminology.
I'm not a rube, Gareth.
I don't like that terminology.
Hey, can I add something before we get to the end of the hour here? So you were talking in the last segment about good news stories and people hearing good news stories.
News.
Look, folks, I like good news stories, but nobody wants to hear that stuff. I mean, I listen to you guys. It's very entertaining. It's very true. But Gareth, you have some very esoteric interests that I guess I'll have to take a look at those things. But seriously, during the lockdown, I struggled so hard to find good news stories for South Africa, and I found them. For instance, South Africa has become the world's largest macadamia nut exporter, producer and exporter. Yeah, and most of the new farmers are non-traditional.
Great.
As in historically disadvantaged and women.
So small
farmers.
Small scale. Right.
And it's gone very well for South Africa. And so I covered that story. And but I did a documentary on Goed Constantia, is one of the oldest vineyards. And
yes.
But and on this trip, it's been mostly politics, and that's been driving a lot of viewers and a lot of comments and a lot of hate wankers and trolls coming to the channel as well.
Yeah, what kind of comments do you get on your
I get them all. I get the, you don't know what you're talking about, you're wrong. But usually people just make an allegation or they make a statement without offering any substance.
Of course. No.
Because that would require
evidence, and they don't have the time for that.
Yeah, it's an emotional release. But I get some fantastic and wonderful comments, and I guess one of the things really fascinating for me, let me finish the penguins. So I made a video about Betty's Bay, about the penguins. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lovely story. I mean, it's nature. It's beautiful. Who doesn't like the penguins unless you live next to them and they poo all over the place?
Oh, they smell disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you get to watch them from a distance or pop up down there at Hermanus or somewhere or down at Simonstown, you can see them occasionally. But I mean, like 500 views in that video. I do a live stream and 24,000 people show up because I'm talking about the politics, So people say they want good news stories, but they never go to them.
Yeah.
And that's why newspapers are full of blood and gore, because nobody opens the paper to go, ah, puppies.
What happens is your reptile brain overrides the the higher function.
It does.
So what
you get a release for
Well, that's it. So news media have figured out that in order to keep you in a cycle of coming to their site, clickbait stuff, we're looking at the bad news stories, murder, chaos, mayhem, crime, rape, disaster, government falling apart, election disasters, whatever it is they have to do to get you to keep coming. They have to appeal to the reptile brain. Mm. The minute you do a nice cuddly story about the penguins, they're like, your brain goes, no, that's not so important.
No, that's not really
we'd
important.
Save that for when we've got 20 minutes and we're doom scrolling at night. But right
Joe
now,
Biden's near the football.
Right now, yeah. Right now, it's near. It's what we need to be paying attention to immediately. It's like survival stuff.
Absolutely.
Fight or flight.
Now, this is the part where I'll confess to a senior moment. What were we talking about a moment ago before I finished the penguin story?
I was asking you about the comments.
Oh, the comments. Look, I'm not, if nothing, I'm honest, But
I like that about you.
So
thank
you
were talking about
that.
How you get comments from people who are like really positive and that they love what you're doing, and you get people who just give you shit and won't give you evidence as to why you're giving why you deserve shit.
I mean, look, you can say I'm wrong and you can have an opinion, that's great. But back your opinion up with something. Oh, your facts are wrong. Okay, well, not really. Facts are facts. I mean, you can. There is no such thing as your truth and my truth. There is just the objective.
The truth. Yeah.
That's right. You can have your opinion. I have my opinion. Right. So, but I welcome that. But I appreciate if people have substance behind it. But where I was going with that story is that, you know, each time I come back to South Africa, it's just it's absolutely amazing because if I look just like say for instance, one of my social media presences is on YouTube. That's the bigger one, and I look at the number of subscribers. It looks like there aren't many people watching, but a lot of South Africans are very suspicious.
Yeah,
and they don't have YouTube accounts, but they'll watch your content. And of course, you don't get credit for the view or the hours watched or any of the ad revenue. And YouTube gets all that. So, and the reason I say this is that some of my viewers have been telling me this for the past couple years anecdotally that a lot of people know who you are in South Africa. And every time I come, I wind up in the strangest places. People walk up to me and they recognize me.
That's cool.
Yesterday, getting off.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, it's awesome. Getting off the plane yesterday, coming up from Durban, I was heading down the ramp because it came in a different gate. And I'm like, this isn't right. I think we're supposed to turn left. I couldn't see the sign. I was right under it. And the gentleman in front of me was sitting in the front row with me. He kept walking. He had a hearing aid. He couldn't hear very well. So I stopped and looked. And then the person behind me went like, aha, this is the right path to get to the escalator, to go to the carousels. And I called to the gentleman. He couldn't hear me because of his hearing aid. So I'm like, hey. So I got his attention. He came back. Otherwise, he'd wander all the way down. We went down. And that delay, this is just fate, right? That delay, which was probably 30 seconds or so, meant that I reached the escalator to go down at OR Tambo to get to the carousels on the domestic side. At the exact moment that this very lovely gentleman got there with me, I stopped, let him go, and he said, I know you. And I said, and of course, I'm struggling. I'm kind of knackered. I've got from Cape Town up to here, down to PE, to Durban. And so I'm just trying to catch my breath, working 16 hours a day. And he looked familiar, but I couldn't recognize him. And I said, well, I'm Chris White. He goes, you've interviewed me. And I'm searching my brain, looking at the hard drive. I got a buffer. Bram Van Straten, the legendary Springbok I interviewed three years ago. Interviewed him twice. Yes. I interviewed Bram when talking about his life and his career, what he's doing when the Southern Kings folded, because he was with them. And then when he did the Bermuda Tens, he was coaching. But
In his
golden years, he was called during the tournament onto the pitch because the kicker was injured and won the game at the Bermuda Tens for his team. So Bram recognized me there. That was pretty cool. Then I went downstairs and I was standing there. And of course, I'm a big fan of the Comrades. And I actually caught the finish of it in Durban. It did a live broadcast.
Oh, nice. How was that? Was that a good experience?
It was fantastic.
I hate the Comrades. It makes me depressed. But
oh, no. You got to be absolutely crazy.
I don't want to see those people running. It's cold. It's miserable.
No.
They nobody cares.
I was there.
Once that one person is won, they must all go home. You know my feeling on this.
Oh, that's very harsh.
That's the fact that they participated.
And then those sad ones right at the end. Oh, no, please.
Yes, you watch for the first person
we don't
who crosses
need to go through this
and
again.
You need to see what time. But you're like, 1 hour something. Shout out to you.
Nah,
and then like
please.
You watch it for everybody else who
no
it's
one
been 12
ever,
hours they've been
no
running
one,
and you're like, you can
no
make
one has
it.
Ever
you
gone.
Oh,
you can do it.
You can do it. And you're like, oh,
no one has ever gone. No one has ever gone, Dad,
show them your bronze.
Show them your bronze comrade medal again.
Most South Africans or the average person, like the fact that they completed that on its own,
it's
whether you're number
what
one or not.
A stupid thing to complete.
It's
completely stupid.
We go from cuddly penguins to the dissing other comrades. Wow. No wonder I have to travel 6,000 miles to get on this show.
Those ones who crawl across the line because their legs give in.
That's the sad part, Gareth, is people actually pass away.
Yeah, I know.
In 2022, I watched
Why would you do that?
That's I watched someone die. It was really sad.
Horrible.
You watched?
Well, there was nothing I could do. There were medics there on the scene. Let them do their thing. I mean, I have medical.
Yeah, he stood there and went,
yeah, another one bites the dust. Ooh.
Die.
Too soon? Yeah. No, but anyway, so back to this. So I go to my carousel, and a lady's standing there, and she's got a comrade's jacket on. I'm like, that's interesting. So I start asking, and of course, they put
finisher. Yeah, because they want to advertise that they ran this stupid race no one needs to run.
Oh, gosh, here we go. Boy, he's bitter. What's in your coffee? What's in there?
I'm
you need that. You
I'm
need
interested.
That drink with a rock in it.
I was eating the rock. That's why I'm missing.
Okay, so back to this.
Finished, you know?
Yeah, so I couldn't see her sleeve because it was under. Then she turned. I started to ask a question. You ran. I said, did you finish? Because not everybody finishes. And she's very fit. I mean, you know, unlike a lot of people around the comrades, I'm still scratching my head on that one. Anyway, so she turned around and said, oh, you're a finisher. Anyway, her name is Talent. She's from Bulawayo. Mm-hmm. And I'll be interviewing her soon. I'm looking forward to that. I'm big excited. And again, that'll be a good news story for everybody except Gareth.
Yeah.
So, you know what's great about this weekend?
Gareth will not be watching it.
There's obviously a long weekend. Everybody's very excited about the long weekend coming up. There's no comrades. You don't have to watch that miserable stuff. It's going to be amazing. And it's cold, so stay indoors. Don't do anything that you don't have to do this weekend. Listen, I love having you here, Chris. It's always good to see you. And I hope that more and more South Africans recognize you and more of them watch your channel. It's great. I love the stuff that you have to say. And I love the fact that you are, you go in and you find out, you go in firsthand and you ask the questions. You are there. You're present to see the stuff, which so many of us, we couldn't be bothered, or we follow bad news sources, or we follow people who say that they've been there, but they haven't. And you actually do the stuff. So I would encourage anybody who wants another good news source to follow this man.
Oh, it's very kind of you. I appreciate
attention
that.
To him. He's good.
No, I appreciate
and Simpiwe, you got plans for your non... You didn't even know it was going to be a long weekend. So
I'm going to make plans now.
She's going to get on the phone straight after the
show.
Be out
in the bush hunting for a hemspot this weekend.
Right. That's it. Very, very good. All right, everyone. Have an excellent weekend. Long weekend. We will see you on Wednesday next week. Behave yourself until then. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Simpiwe. Thank you, Ben. And most especially, thank you.